Okay. Still good morning? I am Lani Paulson Miller. I am from Montana State University Billings as an adjunct professor and research assistant, but I'm also working on my PhD at Walden University, so that's where some of the different universities come from. I am taking a different approach than some of the other presenters today by addressing community resistance to a specific campaign that we tried to implement in Billings, Montana. I do not have any conflict of interest to disclose. However, the funding for this research was provided by NIH. And this is actually a one-year award that we're on our fourth year now. And we also have received funding through the Global Health Equity Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization. And Montana MBRE is the mechanism we went through to receive the NIH grant. So today I'm going to cover basically the need for suicide prevention in Montana, and then go over basically the intervention that we created with this grant money, the community resistance to this intervention, and then implications and further directions. So what I used here was basically a comparison of statistics from the United States and specific to Montana for completed suicides. So the rate per 100,000, you can see Montana is, we say, almost double the national average. It has been higher in some years. We have been in the top five states for the past 40 years. And we have been the top state in 2010, 2011, and 2013. The second leading cause of death, you can see we have a larger age range than the national average. It's 10 to 44 year olds. And then the rate for American Indian and Alaska Native youth is actually the highest, whether you look at it in the United States or in Montana. And if you look at those rates, Montana has 26.4 per 100,000 compared to 19.84 at the national level. And then Caucasian youth has the second highest rate, again, nationwide and in Montana. And as you can see there, nationwide's only 12.2, and I say only, meaning it's still, that's high, with Montana being 22.3 per 100,000. In addition to those statistics, if we look at suicidal ideation and behavior, with this chart, I went ahead again and broke it down by U.S. percentage to the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, the Montana percentage, and then I broke it down by gender. And if you look into what would be your far right column, the items highlighted in red indicate those which are higher than the national average, which is with males. And males do have the highest percentage of suicide in Montana. They completed suicides by male account for 80% of suicide in Montana. So with males, they tend to commit suicide 4 times more frequently than females. And the reason for that is the use of lethal means. Excuse me. Which would be the use of firearms. And in Montana, we have a culture of firearms. And then female youth attempt suicide 3 times more often, but they use less lethal means. And if you look up for every one suicide, there are 100 to 200 attempts. And in Montana, we have a problem with reporting, I guess, completed suicide or suicide attempts. Many of those go unreported. They often are reported as accidents rather than the actual cause of the death. So, So the factors that exacerbate this problem is, in addition to this culture of firearms, there is a huge stigma against depression, suicide, and mental health issues in Montana. We have this cowboy up mentality where basically, if you're sad or down, suck it up, brush it up, brush it off, get up, move on. And that's where men, with the prevalence of that with men, come into play. You don't discuss your emotions. You can't display your emotions. We also have a lack of mental health awareness, which plays into the stigma, and access to mental health care. In Billings, it has the only inpatient psychiatric center for the entire eastern part of the state. So in order to be admitted to that, you have to go through the emergency room of one of the hospitals. So that would mean for some of these communities at least a 6-hour drive to get to the emergency room to determine whether or not you could actually be admitted to the inpatient psychiatric care. And many youth are actually removed from their homes and placed into foster or residential treatment programs in the Billings area. So we have the displacement of youths from their family as well. So that leads to social and physical isolation, because in Montana, we have just reached a little over 1 million people, but we are one of the largest states in the United States. So not very many people in a very large area. So in order to address this, we came up with a community-based media project or intervention that used teens and a theater production, and it was teens that created this theater production in order to reduce the stigma and basically have Montanans start talking about suicide, because we don't. So basically, first, what a community-based media project is, it's a grassroots approach to public health attitude and behavior change. And various types of media can be used to promote a community's concerns, risks, and education to the community about certain public health issues. In our case, as I mentioned, it was a theater production. So the media is produced by a specific community. They then go out to other communities and share that media with the other communities and lead discussions with them. And the resulting efforts, it has been shown to, as you can see there, so raising awareness of prevention resources, increasing self-efficacy to access those resources, increasing perceived response efficacy of prevention resources, and increasing self-efficacy to communicate with peers and others about the target health problem. So how this approach was used is that we recruited volunteers from communities. We first piloted this in Miles City, Montana, and I'm specifically going to talk more about how this was not achieved in Billings as we anticipated. After being recruited, they received QPR training from certified mental health professionals or the local suicide prevention specialist from the health department. They then work with a theater director to create a content of their theater performance. And how they go about doing so is more specific to that theater director's kind of style. So it could include storytelling, narratives, roundtable discussions. I mean, there's wordplay, many different ways that they do this. And these sessions typically last about 8 to 10 weeks that they work with this theater director to create their performance. And then they go out into the community and nearby communities and perform the theater performance. And afterwards, they engage in a Q&A session with the audience that is led by a mental health professional. So So how this worked in Miles City, you can see the objectives here are going to be the same for Miles City and Billings, but these are very similar to what I just went over with what community-based media projects can do. But this was specific to suicide and depression. We launched a Facebook page there, you could see, website. And this was successfully implemented in Miles City. We found significant increases for accessing prevention resources and significant increases in self-efficacy for interpersonal communication if someone confided in them about suicidal intentions or behavior. So when we went to implement this in Billings, we again had the same objectives, except for we wanted to also start addressing that issue of stigma. And you can see there we have the Facebook page and website that we implemented. And how we first were going to do this was approach the three high schools in our local school district. Except for administration, with the local school district refused to participate. Reasons that were given included, and this is the school superintendent, the administrators of the cohorts of the different schools, the principals and vice principals. So we were met at several levels, but it was liability issues, fear of over-researching. We were told that we could just refer back to the youth risk behavior survey, which is, you know, five questions, not really fulfilling what we needed to do for NIH. There was also fear that if we were allowed to research, then other organizations would approach the school district. And there was also a fear that if we spoke about suicide, teens would then lead to suicidal ideation or behavior, thus resulting in contagion behavior. So we had to adapt. I first approached after-school programs and was met with issues of, well, first we need to get parents' approval. Then when we approached the Native American population, and this founded resistance there, we were unaware of the political climate with the tribal leadership, that we needed to first approach the tribal leadership and then actually receive IRB approval through the Native American College before we could even go onto the reservation. So, and that is because of abuse and misuse of individuals by researchers on the reservations. So, what we ended up doing then is using adults in the community to kind of form this grassroots approach even more. So we had one of the drama clubs, the theater director from there helped us recruit. There was Native American Club, an individual involved in that who helped us recruit participants. And then we actually used teens from a residential treatment group. So these were the ones, as I mentioned, that are removed from the home and brought into Billings to receive mental health treatment. We could not perform in the schools, so we did community performances instead, which we actually, our first performance was at a local theater house. It had capacity of 160 participants, or 160 audience members, and we packed the house and had people sitting on the stairs. So there was overwhelming community support. However, from the administration or those gatekeepers, we were unable to reach the teens. And as you can see there, qualitative research had to be used because quantitative, I was not allowed to have access to these teens through the school and tried to reach them on Facebook. So implications of this is we really need to research more, do more in-depth research as to why this community resistance was, and applying the extended parallel process to the community rather than an individual is one way to continue to research this issue. You can see there goals of our continued research is with the suicide prevention. But with the extended parallel process model, the first two components are self-efficacy and response efficacy. Those are specifically what I'm hoping to look further into, is how the community felt that they weren't able to maybe address this. And community, I'm talking specifically about those gatekeepers that refused access for us. And then whether or not they felt that our intervention was or could be effective in our community. So kind of taking a step back and seeing how in one community it was successful, and yet in another we were unable to implement it as we were in that first community. So, great. Thank you.